Welcome back to KXRW Sports Talk from the Coop. We are here at episode 4. Thank you so much for coming back with us as we take you around the sports world with the perspective from Southwest Washington. All right, if you want to follow along with us, check us out on Instagram at From the Coop. And if you want, you're listening here on 99.9 FM. If you miss any of it or you want to catch any other clips of it, get onto the X-Ray FM app on all of your iPhone or Android devices, and you can catch all of our episodes coming up there on that app as well. With us in studio today, as always, our producer, Connor, the captain, Flynn.
Heyo.
We've got David Mace.
Hello.
Patrick McLaughlin's back joining us in studio once again.
Hello.
I am James L. Crockett.
Gah.
And as always, our fearless leader, wireless, Mike Koreski.
Oh, thank you. I love the fanfare, guys. Thank you so much. It's quite a boost. I'm forgetting how hungry I am right now, so thanks, guys. Lots of things to catch up on. It's been a month, and the sports world never stops. And I think that's the fun part, because other things in our life seem to stop or not be as fun. But sports is that one escape, one of probably a few we all have, but it's one of those where you can always get something out of it, good, bad, or ugly. So let's start with the good. We're going to talk about our very own Seattle Mariners, the state of Washington's Seattle Mariners, or the Manix, as I like to call them, because you have about four mood swings every game when you watch. Mr. Crockett, he's got some statistics on our all-star stud catcher, Cal Raleigh. The big dumper keeps hitting big homers.
Big dumper.
And talk us up, James. What do we got on the record books right now? And by the time you guys hear this, he will have probably hit some more.
He will probably have broken quite a few more records.
Yeah. And this happened anyway.
In the time period between when we recorded our last episode and when it aired, he had broken two more records.
Right. So, well, remember saying it doesn't stop. The world don't stop.
And Cal Raleigh don't stop right now. So we're going to go right into our big dumper record dump, as he has been dumping all over the record books all season long, and that did not stop for this month. Starting right up, he is now has the most home runs by a catcher in a single season, passing Salvador Perez when he got to 49 home runs, and that was the one that he did in between our last two episodes there. He also now has the most as a catcher, playing only as catcher, passing Javi Lopez from the Atlanta Braves. He was, of course, the first player in MLB this year to hit 50 home runs. That 50 home runs is always still going to be quite an impressive number to get to.
Yeah, and that's always like the standard for like a huge homer year.
For a huge homer year. If you hit 40, you are an MVP level player. Mm-hmm. You hit 50, you're one of the very few handful of players who have ever done it. And Cal Raleigh is still open for quite a few, as we're going to get into these records now. Yeah. Kyle Schwarber has since gotten to 50, so there's two players this year in Major League Baseball who fit 50, but Cal Raleigh still is in the lead on that category. He has now passed, this is to me one of the most amazing stats, passed for the most homers ever by a switch hitter, passing Mickey Mantle. He has 54. Mickey Mantle has like the next four in this category.
And that was 1961.
He did this that great year in 1961. Roger Maris broke the all-time record, mm-hmm. and Mantle was second on the same team and hit 54 that year. And he has since, of course, passed him to have that record all to himself. So Cal Raleigh, the most homers ever by a switch hitter in Major League Baseball, and he did it. There was going to be a lot of a controversy about how many games it would take Cal Raleigh to do this, because Mantle only played when they had 154 game seasons, and Cal Raleigh did it 151 games. So he's done. That record is all his.
Neener.
No, for Yankees fans,
represent,
take that.
Right.
On top of that, to go with that, he is the first player in Major League history to hit 20 home runs from both sides of the plate. That's both a left-hander and a right-hand hitter. Yep. Mickey Mantle, of course, famously was up there as a left-hand hitter, taking advantage of the right field
porch.
Porch in Yankee Stadium that's still prevalent to this day, even though they've remodeled it three times since then.
Mm-hmm. And so what's next for Mr. Raleigh?
There's one more big record that he has right now. He has tied the all-time Seattle Mariners single-season home run record with 56, and that's where he stands right now, tying, of course, the great Ken Griffey Jr., who did it in both 1997 and 1998. And he's done it now, and he's got
it's a tie
right now at 56, and he has nine games left.
Yeah,
There's 9 games left from this point forward. By the time you hear this episode, it'll be 6 games left.
And Junior did it in 162 game seasons.
162 games. So Rowley is going to have that record all to himself. And of course, he still has an outside shot if he goes gangbusters in these 9 games to get to that 60 home run plateau, which has only been done by a small handful of players in the history of Major League Baseball. Plus, he's going to be playing in Houston. So he'll have a good shot to take advantage of those Crawford boxes in left field. He'll be playing that and then at home again against the Rockies and the Dodgers to finish out the season. Yeah. So he has a good chance of adding even more to that record total.
So the team itself is tied with the Astros right now.
Yep.
But the Mariners do have the tiebreaker right now because they have a better interdivision record. So they would win the West if it started today. Now they're in Houston for 3 starting tomorrow. And whoever wins that series, the 2 of 3, gets the tiebreaker. So in another 9 games, if there's a tie, whoever won the most between this weekend series, the Astros and Mariners, gets the tiebreaker.
Yeah, everyone looked to this week against the Royals and Astros. No matter what we had done to this point, people were looking at us as the boogeyman week, the potential to pitfall. And they've already started off in a really good spot, taking 2 of 3 from the Kansas City Royals, basically burying any chance they had of making the playoffs. And now from now, we'll go down to Houston, and it's for everything for that level. But even with that case, they have done such an impressive job on this run of games that they've been on, this run of wins, this run of impressive play, to put some real distance in between and then catch up to teams like Boston, like New York, and even the Detroit Tigers. They're in a really good position to maybe catch them and pass them into a first-round bye as well, which would be huge for the chances of the Mariners to make it into the playoffs.
For real. Fingers crossed on our Mannix.
Hope the weather's in their favor.
What's that?
Hopefully they don't get hit by a hurricane. Hope the weather's in their favor. In Houston, you know.
Ah, look at you, Pikachu. Look at you.
Had a friend living down there, moved back to Idaho because he just couldn't handle they couldn't handle the weather, you know, getting hit with them hurricanes even that far inland.
And the fact the Astros cheat, that doesn't help us either.
No.
So, So anyway, something that's different in today's like fandom about your team is now when you look at it, because you get on social media and the Mariners really stress, look at our guys for tomorrow. Look at our prospects coming up. We have 8 of them in the top 100 in baseball. So now you always get to be like, well, when are they coming up? Who's going to leave? Who's going to go? You can't sign them all your veterans and all that. So it's funny right now when you watch them succeed, then you watch several of these guys, Jorge Polanco, Dominic Canzone, Josh Naylor. You know, they're all like free agents. And you're like, but then you got guys coming up next year or two, but you can't give all the kids all that. You need a mix of veterans and the kids. You can't get them all because you got to have a vet or two. So that's what's going to be very interesting.
Absolutely. And all season long, we've talked about this. Like, what really can they do with their roster? Can they really support having 2-3 rookies in the roster? And you've been on that all season saying it's just not going to happen. And over the course of the season, what have we seen?
Right.
They've tried him out. They've tried Ben Williamson. They've tried Cole Young. And in the end, what are they going to? Gino Suarez is brought in.
Yeah.
Jorge Polanco has been on fire, breaking records as far as hitting doubles. And, you know, instead of Cole Young, we've seen them go to Leo Rivas now and to give him that perspective as well. And those guys are still viable. They're still viable for the future. They're getting their feet wet. They're doing what they go back down to Tacoma. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Mm-hmm. And they excel when they go down to that next level and get themselves ready to come back if they're needed.
Some things to work on for the next year. But when the next year gets here, then you're like, okay, are we going to have a rerun of last year? So James touched on it. Let's do a quick old recap because, as usual, we're against the clock. Woo! Everett Aqua Sox, the A-ball team, won the whole thing, the Northwest League, last weekend. I was very fortunate to be there for the last game. Totally a fluke. We were actually going to go to the Mariners that night, my buddy and I. And it was just, James was there the night before. He was there the night before we were supposed to be at. And we were just like, we came from cross state and we're like, that's another couple hours to go back into Seattle and park and all that. So why don't we do Everett? We're like 15 minutes from it. And it was fabulous. So it was great to watch the kids, 19, 20 years old, and to win a title. Nice. It was pretty sweet.
Nice. Yeah, Everett Aquasuck winning the Northwest League Championship this year.
Wow.
Something they haven't done since 2010.
Yep.
And they were beating the Eugene Emeralds, which is a Giants affiliate, and they really had a great second half of the season. And the Everett Aquasuck, using a lot of players that weren't on the roster to start the season, they brought them up from the Modesto, which is the league below it. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those players were actually part of a Modesto franchise, which is the league below that had won the last two championships for that league. In the California League, that team from Modesto is now going to be defunct after this.
They're going to be from San Bernardino.
The way that they've prepared the Mariners' future really does set them up pretty well to go into Everett and win, which is what they've done. And then some of those players from Everett we're going to get have excelled so much, even if they move up to the next division, that they have won a lot of awards going in. As that season wrapped up.
And one quick more mention about their minor league teams. Tacoma Rainiers, the AAA team, they clinched a spot in the finals yesterday. So they're going to be squaring off in the finals. And the AAA squad, that's several guys who you mentioned had time with the Mariners that one time or another this season that are either back down there or guys from the lower levels coming up to Tacoma. So it's a very good brand of baseball. You look at the Rainiers roster, and if you're a Mariner fan, probably 80% of those guys played with the Mariners at one time or another this season. So that'll be something fun to watch. All right, James, this is a segment you liked.
Well,
talk about it.
We lost a legend in both sports and movies, all manner of entertainment, and all across lots of different life, in Robert Redford. And what a great 89 years old that he lived. What a great life and career that he had, and really had a huge impact on sports movies as well. We could go on just movies that he was involved in, but we're going to keep it today to baseball movies.
Yep.
And we're going to do something category style. So we're going to go around the table right now and everyone's going to give their five favorite baseball movies, and we're going to see who has the most unique.
Okay. Start us.
I think I'm gonna start.
Let's
right
go,
off.
Sonny.
Absolutely, gonna start right off. My favorite. The reason why this spoke to me so much because The Natural is my favorite sports movie. Okay. Probably my favorite sports movie of all time, but definitely my favorite baseball movie. Something that just resonated with me as a kid. Anyone got The Natural on your list?
Nope.
I did.
All right, so that's 1 point down for me.
The
my
Robert
second
Redford
one
that I wasn't aware of.
Absolutely, and then this is another reason this is really good to do because now Connor gets exposed to some of our other picks. My second one was Bad News Bears.
Oh,
anyone have Bad News Bears?
One. No.
Absolutely.
Fabulous.
The fabulous Walter Matthau. You really,
Buttermaker.
Buttermaker. You got to love it. The Bingo
the
Long
remake.
Traveling All-Stars. And
isn't there Bad News Bears go to
anyone
China?
Have Bingo Long
oh yeah
All-Stars?
That was the third one
and then there's
the remake with what's his name
Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah. Which is that's fantastic original song. But yeah, Walter
I like the Bingo Long Traveling All-Stars because it had not only James Earl Jones but Billy Dee Williams as a Star Wars guy. You know, I was like that
for me.
And that's your third one.
That's my third one.
Okay.
Fourth, Bull Durham.
Yep.
Okay.
Anyone got Bull Durham?
Nope. Kevin Costner.
Absolutely, Kevin Costner,
Susan Sarandon,
and Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins.
Nuke Lelouch.
Love Triangle. Great one.
Breathe through your eyeballs, guys. Anyways, and then Moneyball is my last one.
I have that.
You did have that one.
Yeah.
You would have Moneyball.
He works for the Browns. Did you say The Sandlot?
Does he?
Not yet. No, yeah. I did.
What was your third pick?
The Bingo Long Traveling All-Stars. It was based on a Negro League.
That's why I missed it.
Baseball from
he had to go
okay
he had to
cool.
go artsy on us
cool.
a little bit
absolutely we're gonna go
wish I could have geez
Connor Flynn
jelly all
Connor
right.
Flynn on the left
go,
man
baby.
It's a tie between the more dramatic and the more comedic Field of Dreams and A League of Their Own. Love those movies so much. And then I'd say we're doing all five.
Yeah. And then, right. and then you say does anyone have that movie? That's
does
that's
anybody have either of those?
No, I had
A League of Their Own.
Okay. So funny. There's no crying in baseball.
Absolutely.
There's no crying in baseball.
John Lovitz, very underrated performance in that movie.
Love for that
sure. Yeah. And I'd say nobody said Sandlot yet.
I got it.
It's so popular. I assumed people would. Oh, basketball.
I will give you that. There's base in the name.
You know, with the South Park guys before they really exploded. That really put them on the map.
Strategy. Let's see if that pays off for them.
Okay.
And one more, right?
Yeah.
Man, another tie. Hard to say. Major league, little big league. Major league.
I have that one.
I have that one as well.
Yeah. Little big league then.
Whatever.
It too. We'll
the opposite category. Okay.
Very good.
Mace.
David Mace. What's
all right, my number five is Trouble with the Curve.
Nice.
My number four is
Clint Eastwood.
Yep. A movie called Where Hope Grows.
Hmm. And who's in that?
It's basically it's a special needs kid where he is having a lot of issues, works in a grocery store, and an ex-baseball player kind of adopts him as a friend. He ends up getting a – long story short, he ends up getting his career back at the end of the movie opportunity. Number three is Major League. Number two, I highly doubt anybody has it, but I think of it as like baseball movie. The original, The Naked Gun.
Yeah.
Reggie Jackson
totally
and
counts. Oh, yeah. Mariners versus Angels totally
gun,
counts.
Isn't it?
Yeah. The queen pitches.
Totally.
Reggie Jackson's amazing. He must.
O.J. Simpson
counts.
Falls down the stairs.
Enrico Palazzo.
Yep.
The wheelchair.
And then The Sandlot. Yeah. Is
killing
my number
is
one.
Awesome.
We're
killing me.
Okay. We're gonna go to Patrick.
All right. I've got A League of Their Own, as we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Sandlot.
Yeah.
And we talked about one of my childhood favorites. Angels in the Outfield.
Yeah, that's the other one I was going to say.
Yeah. Tony Danza.
Yeah.
Christopher Lloyd.
Doc. Mm-hmm. Good old Doc.
I got 42.
That's a good one.
That's so a great one.
Love Chadwick
Boseman.
Yeah,
what a great story that is.
R.I.P.
And then here's one I doubt anyone has. It's a stretch. Space Jam.
Because
of his baseball career.
He does the golf. He does the baseball.
Patrick.
Yep.
Good one.
Oh, that's fabulous. And I'll go with mine here.
Finally, Mike Koresky, what is your five?
Not numbered. I just put five out, though.
Of course.
Moneyball, like we talked about. You got to have it. Brad Pitt's awesome in that. And Jonah Hill, awesome. The Natural, like you talked about. Major League, like a few you talked about. For the Love of the Game, Kevin Costner.
Another good Kevin Costner.
Throwing that no-hitter at the end of a crummy season.
We got all three of the Kevin Costner movies named, so that's
nice. And then we'll round it out with The Sandlot, and then a couple of the honorable mentions, because we talked about it, so this isn't part of this categories, but I had 42, like Patrick mentioned. I had The Rookie.
Oh, I was hoping nobody would mention The Rookie.
Based on Jim Morris with Dennis Quaid.
A real deal.
Really cool story, too, actually.
And here's one for you, too. 61.
Yeah.
61, Billy Crystal. You got to love that.
In fact, useless info, the Yankee Stadium scenes were actually in Detroit, in their stadium. And then lastly, for my honorable mention, 8 Man Out.
Very good. I love that based on the Black Sox from the White Sox.
Yep.
The only two honorable mentions, that I had that didn't get named were Rookie of the Year. As a Cubs fan, I was all about that. You know, so
all right.
One more. You said one more.
I did. You just froze me there, Mike, on the last one.
While you think about it, my honorable mention, I would never have known about The Player had I not seen starring Tommy Lee Jones. What is it? You guys know it.
Oh, Cobb.
I wouldn't have known. I was pretty
young. Yeah, I heard that was
younger.
Pretty dark,
it's
so
dark.
I've stayed away.
It was dark.
I've stayed away.
But I was like, wow, this is intense.
Yeah.
Who was this
guy? I'm more a fan of The Player, not The Man.
And the one about what's his name? The big guy
John Goodman?
Yeah, the John Goodman
The
one.
Babe Ruth.
The Babe Ruth
one.
Yep.
Yeah.
What was that called?
Haven't seen it
either.
The Babe. Yeah, that was I enjoyed that as a kid.
Yeah, mine was 42, and then the movie called Hardball with Keanu Reeves.
There you go. Did you get it, Crockett? No?
No, it went.
All right. Well, you guys.
You had it in my head for a second, and then it went poof.
Yeah, you know his heart. So anyway, speaking of hearts, we're going to take this time out for a word from our sponsors, and we'll see you on the flip side.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
And we're back on KXRW Sports Talk. From the Coup, thank you so much for joining us and sticking with us on this broadcast. We hope you enjoyed the last segment on everything baseball. And right now, we're going to turn it over to our fearless leader and host, Wireless Mike Koresky, as we get into the football world.
Well, we're going to do a change-up, even though that's a baseball reference. But we're changing over to football. And the guy who's wearing his Ohio State jersey, because he's all jacked about things, and James is wearing his Husky jersey, and he's jacked about things too. But we're going to talk some NFL. So David Mace, Macy, talk to us, man.
Thanks again, Mike. Yeah, this is always my favorite time of the year. I am a huge NFL junkie, and it's exciting. You know, the first couple weeks, there's been a lot of ups and downs for a lot of teams. You know, the number one scoring team in the NFL currently, just after two games, is the Baltimore Ravens, one of the teams who I picked to make the Super Bowl in our predictions. And the number one defense right now is the Los Angeles Rams. They're only allowing 14 points a game right now.
Wow.
So pretty impressive there. And ironically, right now, we're looking at 10 teams after two games are undefeated. And there's also 10 teams that haven't won a game yet as well. The list of some of these teams are the undefeateds first. We got the Philadelphia Eagles, the Super Bowl champs, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Green Bay Packers, the Los Angeles Rams, the Arizona Cardinals, San Francisco 49ers, obviously a lot represent from that AFC West, mm-hmm. who is 9-1.
7-1. The NFC West right now, 7-1, and the only loss in that division was to a team from that division.
The Niners-Seattle game.
Mm-hmm. That was it. And so that whole division is rolling.
Yeah, and then in the AFC, we got the L.A. Chargers and the Buffalo Bills, the Indianapolis Colts,
wow.
and the Cincinnati Bengals. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do is do a little round table with everyone here at this table, and we're going to talk about who are the pretenders and who is legit. So I'm going to start with James first. We're going to go right through the undefeated category here. What team do you think in the AFC and in the NFC, name one on each side who you think is legit?
Oh, legit, I would go. My prediction preseason was Eagles versus Bills for the title, and I see nothing from those two teams to show that they aren't exactly where they're headed.
No, great picks there. And what teams do you think can't hold up with that record?
Well, for me, the Arizona Cardinals, I think, will fall back in the NFC West. When they get into playing in that division, they're gonna fall back. You even saw like the Seahawks evening their record against the on the road against the Steelers. When you get into those games, they're gonna fall back. For me, it's really tight on the AFC side. It would be the Colts without a doubt for me, but you know, I don't think Danny Dimes can hold through an entire season. But I mean, good for him to getting a choice there. But I'm going to go and just say the Bengals are gonna crater. They lost Joe Burrow for 3 months with a broken toe in their last game, and it's going to be hard for them to keep that up with, even with former UW standout Jake Browning under center for them.
No, those are great answers as well. Now I'm going to shift it over to Mike. Mike, who would you say are the two most legit teams in the AFC and NFC out of the unbeatens so
All
far.
All right. And, James, if you ever say UW great again, I'm giving you a noogie.
Noogie's on. Incoming. Noogie's incoming. That's on, all I got to say. We got a lot more of the show left. Noogie's incoming. Okay.
Wet willies don't work. Okay, we got these headphones on.
Let's go back here. So, like you were talking about, your question was who's a contender?
Yes.
Off those guys you listed, I mean, of course, I'm with the Eagles and some other stuff that was listed there. But the Bucs, I'm feeling Baker Mayfield really looks in control. That rookie wide receiver from Ohio State is doing really well. And so I would say the Bucs, and I think they're just playing good ball right now.
Oh, come on, David. What's his name? He's got a name that's really hard to pronounce.
Emeka Abuka.
Abuka, because he's got that weird G that in there.
He's tied Abuka. Number one in receiving mm-hmm. touchdowns with
and
three.
And he's on my fantasy team, so that's good.
There you go.
So I'm going to say Bucks NFC. AFC, I was going to go with the Bills because Josh Allen, need we say more. Last-minute drives, he can just do it when he wants to, it seems. As far as who's going to crater, I was going to say the Cardinals as well. We've just seen him so many years with Kyler Murray get off to a 4-1 start, and then it just kind of leaves. So I just don't feel confident with that. And then in the AFC, I'm going to say the Colts. I see the Bengals thing, but the Colts, the way they pulled that game off last weekend was a real gift, and congratulations that they got it. I just don't see it though.
I agree
for
with
a
you.
Whole season.
I just have a little bit like Jonathan Taylor still looks like he's got it.
Yeah, he's
and
fantastic.
So I think he might be able to power them into a little bit more, but it's going to be mediocre. If they have more than 9 wins, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, And I mean, it's cool for Tyrese Halliburton to be there and get it all going, which is cool. But I just don't see it happening for 17 weeks.
Great picks. I'm going to say mine as well. So I'm going to say legit for each conference. I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles because I have them in the Super Bowl as well. And then in the AFC, I'm going to have to agree with you guys also with the Buffalo Bills, even though I'm really impressed with the Los Angeles Chargers right now.
I was going to say that's a pretty good follow-up.
Yeah, going down to Brazil and winning that game.
And Herbert's one of those guys with Josh Allen, with Lamar Jackson, who, you know, and Burrow, but now he's not involved in it. But those are the guys that can want to sneak in and get that Super Bowl chance if they can get the chefs out of there.
Former Oregon Duck.
Yeah. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle in that division. And then my two teams, I'm right with you guys there too. I say the Arizona Cardinals, who is a pretender. I wanted to say the San Francisco 49ers because they're right there as well. I don't trust them, but I'm going to go with the Cardinals.
And with George Kittle like going down the way he did in game one, Purdy is who knows. They're having to roll with
Mac Jones
at quarterback. Yeah. And then I just don't – who can trust McCaffrey? You guys are really big fantasy guys, and he always gets drafted. Yeah, really.
No, I won't do that, it that every is
the,
year, man.
To me, that is the one player that is going to really be what San Francisco's season is going to be. If he's healthy, they will have a solid season. Yeah. If he's not, I don't think they're a playoff team.
That whole team looks like it could – week to week, they could just not be there. Like the whole team.
That's true.
Jennings, Williams at tackle – it just seems like, you know, you just don't know who you're going to have to draw on. That defense is impressive, though. It pretty much always is. And Kyle Shanahan, I mean, that guy just keeps doing it. He's been there, 9 years now?
It's crazy.
He was in Cleveland, I remember. All right. And then my pretender of the AFC, I want to say the Colts, but I am going to say the Cincinnati Bengals. And it's not necessarily the Burrow thing, yes. But I've been on this for the beginning of the year. The Bengals defense is their biggest Achilles heel, and they can't stop anybody. And that's why I'm saying the Bengals.
All right.
And now let's go to our winless teams.
All right.
Same thing. We got 10 teams that haven't won a game. I'll start with you again, James. Who is the team that has a chance to turn it around in the AFC and NFC, and the team that's just going to struggle through the whole season, battle for the top pick of next year's draft?
I'm going to look at the Houston Texans. I think they can turn around. Anytime you start off with a quarterback like C.J. Stroud, you have a chance to power through and make make something out of your season. And look at me. You guys look at me right now, and you know what team I'm going to pick for the NFC.
No.
You know which one I'm picking. The Chicago Bears.
Da Bears.
I see so much improvement in Caleb Williams already. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a little bit to get used to having Ben Johnson as their head coach. And they started off with two NFC North teams right away. By the time they get back into that NFC North schedule, I have a thought that, you know, between him and throwing to Roma Dunze and some of the weapons that he's got to work there, they're going to figure out what they're doing on defense, especially up front on the line. They just put too much into it, and I just see too much in this coaching staff and what they put in. And it's a great time to get power through into a new era for the Chicago Bears behind Caleb Williams and some of what they've got to go.
I'm with you on that one too. And then the two teams in both conferences who you think it's going to be rough to win games through the whole season on the AFC and the NFC.
I think the Titans are going to struggle. Cam Ward is great, but I think he's going to have a full season with more and go into next season with more weapons, more to go from their drafts. In the NFC, the Panthers. I am just never been a Bryce Young believer. Never ever will. And I think they're going to have to reset again at the quarterback position. They're very young, and so I think it's ripe for them. If they can move on from Bryce Young, they might do that and try to get some value there, and it's ripe for them to have a reset. And so I think that kind of permeates through the entire organization when you're at that spot.
All right, Mikey, same question. What two teams do you think have the chance to turn it around the best out of the winless teams, one AFC team, one NFC team?
Boy, I'm going to be jumping on the Sonny Crockett bandwagon. I'll go with the Bears as well. I think they've got some talent there, and I think they don't ask Caleb Williams to do too much. And So I think he plays within the system. They should be able to run the ball a little better. So that's why I'll go with NFC. AFC, I think the Chiefs will turn it around just because they always seem to. However, when you go 0-2 to start a year, the stats are not very good to get back to a Super Bowl or even the playoffs. So we'll see what happens. But if anyone has it, it's them.
There goes the hope for the Lions and the Chiefs.
And the Tigers and Bears. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, now for me, I definitely am on the same train with the Chicago Bears. I think game one, they didn't lose that game. It was more like the Vikings just took it from. They took the foot off the gas. And I think last week they just ran into a train wreck with the Detroit Lions, who were embarrassed that first game, just kind of took it down Chicago. So I think they're a lot better.
Extra motivation with us poaching their offensive coordinator as well.
All right.
And then the Kansas City Chiefs also. I mean, they got Xavier Worthy, who will be possibly coming back this week. You got Rashee Rice coming back week 6. It's, you never count out number 15. Like, as long as he's there, they always have a fighting chance. Mm-hmm. And then the two teams. Did I miss you? I think I missed you on that one, Mike. Actually, who are the two teams that are going to be battling for that number one pick in each conference?
All right. NFC, I'm going with the Giants. Who's quarterback? And I don't know. And then the AFC, Jets.
Yeah.
Just no.
The two New York teams.
No. Russell Wilson in that game. Schizophrenic game, if you've ever seen one. He throws that dime, that rainbow moon ball that he always throws, and then just blows it right out. Everything after that was a disaster of epic proportions.
Tell you what, though. Kudos to Brandon Aubrey, that kicker for Dallas.
Oh, yeah. Hell of a story.
What a weapon. Yeah. He might have a chance to be their best player on their team. Mm-hmm. And then for me, the two teams that'll be battling for that number one pick, for me, it's the New Orleans Saints, without a doubt. That team is a train wreck. I don't see much hope there right now. And then the AFC, I'm actually going to take the Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of problems on that team as well.
I think the coach has lost that locker room.
Yeah, McDaniels, he's got two more games before he's fired. That's my prediction on
that. I think you're right.
And then my Mace stat of the night.
Okay, to wrap this up.
It's actually about my beloved Cleveland Browns. They actually have a stat of now going 30 games in a row with not allowing a 300-yard passer in a passing era.
That's awesome.
And the next highest is the Philadelphia Eagles with 15.
Okay. Well, the Eagles, the Eagles led it to a chip
into wins.
So maybe the Browns can do another 15 weeks of that and get their own.
Yeah, so that's something to at least be excited about.
Maybe they should try it. Try giving over 300 yards, and that if that gets you to the win column
and
instead.
then my friends, was David Mace's optimistic
stat of the night.
Stat of the night brought to you by LensCrafters, because we always keep it optical.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say we got to skip one of the parts here because we got to get into this last thing because we're up against the clock as usual. So, of course, Sonny Crockett and, of course, Macy are all excited about Ohio State and Washington. I'll let you guys – let's do a quick pick because we have another discussion about rivalries these last couple minutes. So give me your Ohio State-Washington quick picks. Sonny.
I think it's really just a great time for them to – have Ohio State coming over into the greatest setting in college sports. I'm saying all these things because I love the way that Mike Kresge looks when
you
I
guys,
say
if
these
you guys
things.
Could see the but, if Jordan, this was on camera, it would not be nice.
My big prediction of this
start
game.
Doing that.
The all-time record for rushing touchdowns between two teams in an NCAA game is 9, and I think they're going to smash that record between these two teams. It's not just going to be a shootout. It's going to be a shootout on the ground. Jonah Coleman is coming off a couple of really amazing games, scoring touchdowns, and he's going to continue that along with some of the other people in there. And it's going to be they have to get to 10. I think it's going to be more like 12 between the two teams. They're going to run all crazy because it's going to be huge chunk yards, and it's going to be a 49-46 Huskies win. Dang. At home in the greatest setting.
Macy.
And Matt Patricia, I believe, is going to be the big difference for Ohio State, the addition to the defense. I think I'm going in the opposite direction for score-wise, though. I think there's going to be a lot of field goals in that game. I say Ohio State 34, Washington Huskies 16.
And I'm going Ohio State 27, Huskies 24. I do think there'll be some more field goals than touchdowns, like you said. I think both defenses will get stout here and there. But good point about the running game on both sides. So we'll see. Lastly, speaking of the Washington squad, college rivalries in state. They are not what they used to be, obviously, when the Pac-12 disintegrated. So now you have Cougs, as my buddy right here has his Coug shirt on.
That's me.
Thank you so much, Patrick. You the man. So we have Cougs Huskies. We have Beavers and Ducks in Oregon. And both Cougs, 20-point underdog. And I wish I could – I'd have another take on Ohio State if I could see Washington play already on Saturday. But so that's not good. And then the Beavs, I think, are even a worse underdog to the Ducks. All four schools say they want to keep these rivalries. But what do you guys think about them? Because they did get bumped to the third week of September now because they're no longer in a conference. Does that make a difference to you? Quick thoughts. We're up against it. James.
Yeah, I think it does take a little shine off of both games, and it really does affect how the teams would be competitive in both cases. And it just won't mean as much because it used to be like, you know, both teams were – they weren't just rivals. They were knocking each other out of the – regardless of what – you could be a 2-10 team or, you know, and you're still going to go into that game and try to knock off your in-state rival. So you don't have that. You just don't have it.
Yeah, if the other team was going to the Rose Bowl. And so the team with the two wins could still spoil it.
But I do think rivalry games like that still have meaning in college football, and you just got to keep that going as much as you can.
Macy.
100% agree. I don't like how the NCAA has changed things with the divisions.
Yes. And I would say let's keep them. And while I will say the third week is kind of weird, a step beyond weird for me, last year I got to go see it there, Mr. Crockett, in Lumen Field, and I did not care if it was the third week of September. That was a hell of a game. That was just a hell of a game to watch and be a part of.
It takes away from the excitement and the community. You know,
well, there's that part of it too.
Duality,
but
excitement.
But that's going to be up to the community, and that includes guys like us
right.
to really keep that going.
Exactly,
and we can
keep
still
it
do
going.
That.
Keep it going. Civil wars and all that.
Civil wars. I mean, apple cups.
And applesauce, as I like to call it. Okay, well that wraps up second segment. Third segment coming your way soon. After a word from our awesome sponsors.
Big thank you to Georgie's Garage and Grill for supporting KXRW programming. They offer a full bar and signature meals for breakfast, lunch, and dinner that is not the usual bar food. Their food will keep you coming back for more. Dine in or take out. They also offer a venue space for live music and community events. Georgie's Garage and Grill is located downtown Vancouver at 606 Broadway Street. More information can be found at georgiesgarageandgrill.com.
And we're back on KXRW Sports Talk from the Couve. Thank you so much for joining us here. You're on your drive time there on your way home, and we're going to drive this one home as we send it right back to Wireless Mike Koreski.
We're going to do our best to keep this on the road for you at the right speed limit and the right distance between cars. That's what we're going to do. And to help us, get this rolling here, this last segment, it is our own guy, the grappler, Patrick McLaughlin.
What would I be, grappler 6?
You would be, yeah. 5 or 6, yeah.
We saw Grappler 4 wrestle at the American Legion. Mm-hmm. He took off his mask.
That's right. He revealed himself.
He revealed himself. The Grappler, if you don't know, the legend in the Pacific Northwest pro wrestling scene. And it's kind of like the Tiger Mask of Lucha Libre. They've got Grappler 4 now to carry on. But the original Grappler, Len Denton, legend of 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Portland wrestling.
Yeah, back to Portland wrestling, back in like the Buddy Rose area and Piper and all that, right?
Yep. Him and Dutch Savage, arguably two faces of Portland Wrestling Company. So, by the time this airs, the two super shows of the big leagues will have gone out. We got AEW All Out from Scotiabank Arena in Toronto. Going against WrestlePalooza, WWE's show, which I feel like WWE's kind of being a big bully in that. Moving over to ESPN. That
no more Peacock. Goodbye, Peacock.
Peacock, you can watch archived content.
Was that a Peacock call? That was very similar to a Peacock call.
Nope, that was just a disappointing call.
They're pretty awful calls.
But no, AEW All Out has been announced for a long time, and a couple weeks ago, WWE says, we're going to do a show right next to them. And it's just like, as if they're not big enough and strong enough, they have to bully out their competition like they've always done.
Yep. Yep.
However, I feel like to get your money's worth, AEW pay-per-views are way more stacked cards.
Better wrestling.
Mm-hmm. WWE's always been big about the production, having the stage, and you know the long the entrances and the stories.
Well, and the big venues, because this was going to be in Indianapolis as well.
Yes. Second pay-per-view this year in Indianapolis, the Royal Rumble, made a record gate.
So how about them egg prices?
That's one thing that always kind of bugs me about watching the WWE product right now. Business, nobody can argue that in the pro wrestling world, business is booming right now. But at what price? And just ask anybody who's going to see them live. You know, it just seems like ticket prices are really high, and then Triple H comes out and goes, we had a record gate tonight. And Connor and I have joked, that's the equivalent as if we went to the grocery store and what used to cost you $50 now costs you $150, and you go outside and the CEO is out there with a megaphone saying, we're making record profits.
Woo! High five.
Oh yeah.
High five.
No, I can attest. And, I've seen that all the time with businesses.
They come out and say, we've got record number of viewers, and it's like, yeah, well, you're also on like 12 hours a week now.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, so WWE beat out Taylor Swift's record
gate. Yes, that is actually their Clash in Paris. They had 30,000
Taylor Swift.
30,000 fans apparently. When Taylor Swift played there, she had 45,000 fans. So 15,000 more people saw Taylor Swift than saw WWE wrestling. Yet supposedly WWE wrestling pulled in higher ticket numbers, meaning that they charged more. Even though 15,000 less people were in the building than for Taylor Swift.
Well, and her tickets were not cheap.
Right. And so so if that's a true stat, how much are WWE tickets going for?
Well, and think about the merch, too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Oh, that's all relative. And including merch and food and all that.
How much did the guy in the green shirt pay for his tickets?
Yeah, the green shirt guys.
Thanks for bringing him up.
Yeah, Patrick will talk for the whole night about green shirt guys.
Yeah, go back 10 years ago, you'll see that guy sitting in that same spot. Who is this man? I've been trying to figure out for a long time in the green shirt.
Or the Brock Lesnar guy, too.
That, I feel like the guys in the front row are them alone or.
Yeah, what do they do for a living? Are they content creators? Where are they? Probably not, if you can't find them.
But, you know, another big news in mainstream pro wrestling, the WrestleMania, not this coming year, it's going to be in Las Vegas, which was originally supposed to be in New Orleans, and they kind of
just railroaded New Orleans, just took it right out of them and gave it back to Vegas, which they just did it in
just
Vegas.
Just did it in Vegas, so it's going to be in Vegas for 2 years. WrestleMania 43 is heading to the Middle East in Saudi Arabia. I wonder if the green shirt guy will make it to that.
Saudi Arabia. I bet he will.
Yeah. He's got airline miles,
this will
baby.
Be the first WrestleMania that they've had that isn't in the United States.
Outside of
North America.
Outside of North America. Yeah,
Not Wembley Stadium. Not all these places that have supported, you know, wrestling and WWE over the years. It's going to be in Saudi Arabia.
Right. And I believe the ones with the Vegas, the first time it's been back-to-back in the same cities, 2 years in a row since 4 and 5 at the Trump Plaza.
Trump Plaza.
I think it was
eight and nine,
I think.
It's just part of, since the rebranding, the TKO era, it's just become more about profit, which, I mean, any business is all about profit. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's at the expense. I've always considered pro wrestling a very working class, blue collar form of entertainment, and I don't see how they're justified in these record gate prices, and I don't understand how the average fan base is affording that. And to me, that just is a effect of what we're seeing of just income inequality in society right now.
You couldn't be more. Not only that, but there used to be levels to this. Like, sure, maybe you couldn't get the pay per views, or you couldn't go to the big shows, but they'd have a show, a local show you could go to that would be, you know, you can get still see the players, an untelevised show, and there used to be shows out there for free everywhere. Mm-hmm. They used to have local. You know, I would turn on my local my local TV that my Scribble Vision almost really. I mean, it's like getting off an antenna
KPTV,
and still see and still you know on. KTZZ in
up north,
up north in Seattle, and still see a show Shotgun Saturday Night for free, and that's just gone. It's not happening anymore.
You know, not too long ago we had the unprecedented WWE Network for $9.99, and then they moved over to Peacock.
And I was all about it while they were on Peacock,
and
but goodbye.
Now it's every single show you have to have a different site.
No, thanks. I'm not chasing it.
ESPN for, I think, what is it, $29.99 to watch all the pay-per-views?
Nope.
Netflix to watch
They're
Raw?
Not getting my money.
Peacock. Right. Hey.
But speaking of blue-collar wrestling and but local engagement.
To spin it back, you know, this is Sports Talk from the Coop. The business the wrestling business is booming, and we can say the same thing locally. Yeah. We just saw the Barroom Bar Wars. Four. Connor and I got to call that. New inaugural champion for Roundtable Pro Wrestling was crowned in a fatal four-way match. We've had him on Rip Rex. Caleb was in the match, Brian Brooks, Brian Armstrong, and Christopher Crawley in a fatal four-way match. And my pick to take it was Rip Rex himself. But
yeah, the captain, we were really pulling for him.
I was pulling for him.
Friend
as well.
Of the show. Friend of the
show.
Yeah,
let's not say it too positive here, guys. Let's not say it with too much elation.
Yeah.
You know, he took the pinfall that match against who?
Brian Brooks, his rival.
Brass Knuckles Brooks. And man,
a lot of bees.
And you saw it. I mean, give me the highlight. What were the highlights of the match?
It was dramatic, man. They're at the American Legion Hall, the Salmon Creek American Legion
Hall.
That
was cool.
That was one heck of a venue to change it up to after these three previous bar
wars. I really felt like
it
added to the whole, like
I
said.
It kind of brought them back home to their Eagles Club type of venue.
Right, blue-collar aesthetic.
Blue-collar wrestling. Since they,
where
every faction broke off.
Every seat is a good seat, and everybody is involved with the show. Like, I feel like that's what wrestling should be about.
There were veterans there that probably just heard about it because of the hall telling them about it.
Remember the street fight when they went out into the
They went outside
out
around
into the parking lot.
That probably wouldn't have worked at all at Georgie's, but they went outside around the whole venue. They were on camera for Bobby P's
fighting in the
Bobby
parking
P
lot.
Media. Shout out to Bobby P.
Shout out Bobby Pallotta.
Bobby
P Media.
CJ and I always drawing a blank on them. Their names. The camera handlers, they're great. I wanted to compliment them at the end of that show. They followed the wrestlers, Brooks and Rip Rex, and it was just epic.
It wasn't Brooks and Rip Rex. It was I've got it up. It was
Bad Blood?
Oh, it was the Bad Blood.
Bad Blood and that other
right,
guy.
Sorry.
And
that
was
other guy.
His retirement match from the business, actually, in a street fight, and they brought out the pizza cutter.
The pizza cutter. There was color. there was definitely color.
Yeah. And then at the end of the match, Bad Blood cut a promo saying, I love you. And I was thinking, okay, these are guys that like each other. What kind of match would it be if they hated each other?
Right. They paid respect. Definitely paid respect.
They paid
to each
respect
other.
To each other. Yeah. Who was – I want to pay respect to who that was. It was
– Well, and just one little aside. Color, meaning
color.
They had – they were bleeding
in
the ring.
Yes. That is the term for that.
That is your wrestling term moment of the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Sonny.
Yeah, if you did not know that, listeners.
Yeah, it was.
But they were.
Okay, but
Bad Blood versus the Sinister Sunday Sinner.
Sunday Sinner.
That's right, Sunday
Sinner. So they've got the cameras. Were they showing it on the screen in the venue, or did
everybody
go out?
We could see Bobby P's monitor on the media table.
So what did the people who were there watching the show, what did they see?
They either looked at the ring waiting for him to come back in, or they followed him out.
They could hear us. They could hear us talking and commentating, and there were also the Roundtable Wrestling commentators talking about it on the other end of the table, so the audience could hear us probably talking about, such and such happening.
Because this was the first show that they were also streaming through like
onto a pay-per-view.
Well, it was a pay-per-view.
I forget the website right now, but
I don't have it off the top of my head either.
But
the next Barroom Brawl,
Bar Wars 5.
You say it now.
Which they hypothetically may just be going back to Georgie's, but there was talk.
According
of
to their website, that is what the plan is right now, is that they will be at Georgie's.
However, the Legion Hall was a big success for you guys.
Yes,
it was. It was a lot of fun.
And the promoters and the organization, was enjoying themselves there.
You'll plant the seed
and felt comfortable there, and that might be a little premonition
it
for the future.
Definitely added to the aesthetic of, like I said, a just blue collar,
a little bit different.
Blue collar local wrestling, like that's. I mean, I have more fun with that than big budget Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah. Speaking of blue collar wrestling, Patrick, you have a new show.
Let's
talk about it.
Yeah, it's my buddy Mitchell and I, the Wizards of Wrestling.
Mitchell Kuntz.
Connor.
Fellow high schooler of mine. High school mate of mine.
We're just going to talk all about kind of like this type of show, just focus more on wrestling. The approach I'm going to take is kind of, you know, kind of the approach I take on here is kind of more the disgruntled fan that's upset that they're pricing me out.
That's not a problem. That's cool.
Yeah.
We need that.
And I think if I could speak for him, Mitchell's kind of coming in more as just the excited fan, you know, and so mm-hmm. that kind of dynamic of I'm going to bring up kind of more the business side that
right.
I'm not
the capitalism side.
Yeah. Because I honestly have more fun watching podcasts, Vince Russo's podcasts, and all these old guys in the business and their commentaries. Yeah,
like Bruce Pritchard's podcast, man, even though he's kind of part of the problem, yeah. to be honest. But man, some of the stuff he puts out there is really interesting
to
hear.
I have more fun watching that than Jim Cornette is great too.
And then, so what's the time frame on this podcast?
Oh, Connor.
Probably a couple weeks.
Okay.
Got to get the first episode in the bag and then we'll be on the roll.
Okay, so you guys.
It might be weekly.
Just keep watching KXRW.FM.
There you go.
Keep checking our socials, and you'll see more content coming to KXRW and X-Ray FM.
Yeah, so we all have a big stamp of approval for this show coming up. It's going to be good stuff. And to finish off, we've got a little basketball talk. It starts at the end of October as far as NBA goes. James wanted to talk a little more about the Blazer, the new ownership. So we know the principal owner is the guy from the Carolina Wild NHL squad.
The Carolina Hurricanes and they're very successful.
Well,
franchise.
They're a Wild Hurricane.
It's a Wild Hurricane, and they were a Wild Hurricane through the NHL. They've won championships for
opposite corner of the country.
Okay. Opposite country. And,
however,
right? However, also in their ownership group.
We got no Hurricanes over here.
Yeah, we don't, but we got our own problems.
That's wild.
And in their ownership group is also the Chang Family Trust, who is worth $7.5 billion.
That's all we need, man.
And they are the most wealthy part of the ownership group of the team, and they are also owned by the Panda Express.
Yes,
and they have control of Panda Express. So
they're out of California. Right?
If the Blazers. Panda Express. Huh. If the Blazers score 100, it's going to be some free panda, y'all.
Free orange chicken for all. Let's go. But
it's chicken bowls.
As we talked about, we're heading
chicken.
Into the season.
Crack chicken, baby.
I think that's going to add some excitement to the upcoming Blazers season.
Oh, totally.
And
there's lots to be excited about
group,
already.
And they're going to put that out there. They're going to make this season try to get back into being contention in NBA.
Well, they need to kind of capture the public back again. You know, make it to be that conversation. Hey, there's something special going on there. You know, you're not sitting guys out every night trying to get a draft pick. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the year, what we need.
Got really good talent.
And Dame won't be on the court. He'll be rehabbing. However, he'll be on the bench. There'll be plenty of highlights
to remember him by. You never know what can happen in the NBA and with athletes. Sure. Sometimes they just, you know, a little spark comes on and they end up getting healthy before, you know, you never know. And you come down to the playoffs and if they make it along with the new guys, Hansen, right? Mm-hmm. They're coming in who really has shown out. And exactly, Yang Hansen.
The Yanger.
The Yanger. At a really good talent base that they've started to build up there.
For real.
And there's some potential for that. And then if Damian Lillard just says, you know what, I need to be part of this, gets on it and gets in there, it could be real big things for the Blazers coming up this season.
Okay, two quick things to finish up on. Number one, the Eurobasket tournament that just happened last week. Phenomenal stuff. Germany won it, and it was Dennis Schröder, as Macy talked about earlier before we started this adventure. He was the MVP, and just fabulous. Fabulous basketball. They ended up beating, I think it was Lauri Markkanen in Finland. Mm-hmm. So I think, and one of those two teams beat Greece with the Giannis before that. So there was just some fabulous.
Wow.
Well, and you know how many European guys are there. Like, Luka was there, and the other people I just mentioned.
Jokic.
And, Shengun. Yeah, and Jokic. Shengun was there from the Rockets. playing in there too.
Many TBL players?
And no, but TBL though, two TBL guys from last season, Michael Jenkins and Jalen Richardson, Vancouver's own.
J. Rich.
Yes, they are in the finals in their Vietnam League. Yep. Right now. All
in
right.
The championship finals, so playing for Nha Trang. And really good.
And then, then our hero, Curtis Sugar Hill for the Volcanoes. James got a list of 16 players.
16 players.
That he has helped to launch into the pro ball in the last couple of years.
Awesome stuff.
Absolutely. That he's helped get signed into Players in Mexico. They've done really good in their travels down there in the offseason. They won three out of the four tournaments that they've been involved in, so he's really putting up something special to lead into the next season. Along those lines, coming up at the end of this month, October 25th is the date they're targeting for their first local tryouts. And if you want more information on whether or not you can come try out for the team, I would get a search for them on Instagram at the Volcanoes, or message him directly on Instagram, PFC Kurt. Is his Instagram handle, and he'll let you know the information on when and where that'll be held. But October 25th is the date that they're targeting for that. All so right. If you're interested in being a Vancouver Volcanoes ball player, get involved, and maybe we'll see you on the court next season.
All right, Saucy. And on that note, we'll be thanks, back you guys. Halloween. Yeah, we'll be back the day before Halloween. And if cameras get up, you might see some disguises. And you probably would like to see us more in disguises than without. So that tells yourself. You.
We'll see how I stand through a hockey engaged. Mask.
Hey, I know I have a face for radio. That's what I've been told in the past.
I've got a voice for print.
That's
obviously.
What I was going to say.
A voice for print.
And I write like I should be on TV. So thank you so much for coming with us on this journey on this episode of KXRW Sports Talk from the Coop. If you want to get more information on us, check us out on Instagram at From the Coop. If you want to follow more announcements coming up.
Is that Coov? Is there an E in it?
Or yes. Okay. Absolutely.
From the Coov.
Absolutely.
With the an Coov. E.
So, and keep listening on 99.9 KXRW on your radio dial. You can also catch all of our episodes, if you would like, on the website at kxrw.fm or on our sister station. Now we're going to be loaded up on their app at the X-Ray FM app on all of your favorite devices. And you can hear us live and follow along with us on there as well.
Fantastico. So for all of us, for Mr. Crockett, Mr. McLaughlin.
Keep supporting local media.
Connor.
Keep speaking your heart.
Connor Flynn and the man, the myth, the Macy, David Mace.
Don't take any guff
thanks.
From no swine.
Thanks as always.
Thank you guys for
go
watching.
Woof, 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 woof.
No, no, go no. Go Cougs. Good night.